Do you know how long the average professional spends making slide decks every week? 5 hours. That's almost an entire workday resizing text boxes and moving around bullet points. Well, Gamma is here to rescue you from presentation purgatory. Just drop in your notes and Gamma magically turns them into polished presentations, websites, social posts, you name it. No design or coding skills required. Start for free at gamma.app and get a month of Gamma Pro for free with promo code PODCAST.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Juliet, Erica and Maeve are the three separate protagonists of Anne Tiernan's new novel, but as we learn throughout the book, they're not all separate, but in fact they're entirely intertwined. It's called The Good Mistress, and it follows Anne Tiernan's first book, The Last Days of Joy, in which a personal experience found its way unexpectedly onto the opening pages. And Anne Tiernan is with me now. Anne, good morning and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Pat.
Now, let's talk about how you became a writer. Did you always want to be?
Yes. Yeah, I think like most writers, as a child, I was a voracious reader. And I think in the back of my mind, it was always something that I wanted to do. But I kind of got sidetracked for a number of years. I went to university and studied English. And then I left, I think, with the intention of doing something in journalism.
Yeah.
And then I left university and a friend of mine was running a job agency and said, we've got a job in the bank.
Just you had no intention of becoming a banker.
I mean, not only no intention, but no aptitude.
What? No fondness for numbers at all?
No, I mean, no, zero.
So how did you get on in banking?
Not great.
How long did you stick it?
7 years. So
oh my goodness. How many people have you cheated, defrauded,
like God knows,
or
and it was
left short?
It was at peak Celtic Tiger. So God knows what sort of a mess I've left behind. So that was 7 years in the bank.
And then?
Then I left Ireland to go to New Zealand.
Why New Zealand? All the trends was for Oz. You went to New Zealand.
Because of a man. Yeah, short story. So I was working in the bank with this lovely Kiwi guy and we'd been going out a few weeks and he said, all right, Darl, my visa's up, so
I gotta go,
so are you in? And at that stage, I was living in Chapelizod, just bought myself a little flat there. I thought I'd never leave Ireland. And I thought, okay, well, I'll go for a few months. So we went travelling around the world and then we arrived back in New Zealand. And a couple of months into my 1 year working visa, I discovered I was pregnant.
Okay.
I think we were so shocked that that happened that I think I had no capacity to make kind of other big life choices about what we were going to do.
So now you are three.
Now we are five.
Going back to that moment, you were three.
Yeah.
And you have to make kind of, do we go? Do we stay? What do we do?
Yeah, you know, and I think it just felt easier to stay just because the pregnancy was such a curveball that making any other big life decisions just seemed too hard. So, yeah, we stayed. And then my 30s were kind of spent, you know, we had three under the age of four. So my 30s were kind of a blur of, you know, pregnancy and child rearing. And it was when I was approaching my 40th birthday and my youngest had just started school and my middle child said, Mom, why didn't you grow up to be anything?
That wow, I thought. There's a profound question.
So I thought, okay, the only thing I've any real interest in is writing. So I started doing a few little articles and short stories. And then had some success getting things published, you know, these little small articles. But then I went through a period where everything I wrote was rejected. And I thought, right, I can continue doing this, or maybe I can just spend a couple of years writing a novel and have that rejected. But at least it'll feel
you've got something to show for it.
Well, exactly. Yeah. So and that's when I wrote The Last Days of Joy.
Now, I mentioned that a personal experience impinged upon the writing of that book.
Yeah, so my mother a few years before I started writing it, my mother died by suicide. And when I started writing the novel, I didn't intend to write about suicide or about a woman who was depressed or an alcoholic. But I think with writing, your preoccupations just often...
They turn up on the page.
They turn up on the page. And page one, the character of Joy turned up and she was an alcoholic and she was depressed and she attempted suicide. So I just went with it. And I spent 2 years writing it. And I think it was cathartic in a way. I should also add that I didn't really get a chance to grieve my mother properly because I was in New Zealand. And when she died, I was heavily pregnant with my third child.
There was no question of flying back.
No question of flying back. So I think I didn't grieve. I think it was, and I think maybe the book was my way of processing what happened to her.
When you had completed this work, you still have to get it published. Now,
yes.
you had achieved something that you'd set out to achieve. Mm. You'd written a book. How did you get it published?
I got picked up off the slush pile, actually. So in New Zealand, it's good in a way. You don't really need an agent. Here, it's a lot different. You've got to get an agent before
to get you through the door.
Yes. But and I didn't know anybody in publishing or... Yeah, so I just sent it to a publisher in New Zealand, and a couple of days later she rang me and said, we'd like to publish it. So, yeah.
Now, living in New Zealand, what part were you in? Were you rural or urban?
Urban. So Tauranga, which is a city on the northeast coast.
Do you know how long the average professional spends making slide decks every week? 5 hours. That's almost an entire workday resizing text boxes and moving around bullet points. Well, Gamma is here to rescue you from presentation purgatory. Just drop in your notes and Gamma magically turns them into polished presentations, websites, social posts, you name it. No design or coding skills required. Start for free at gamma.app and get a month of Gamma Pro for free with promo code PODCAST.
Okay, now I know little enough about New Zealand. I've recently been to Australia, but not to New Zealand. We get the impression that it's a place that might be locked a bit in the 1950s or 60s compared to, say, the cities of Ireland.
Maybe rurally. I wouldn't say that about the cities. Like Auckland is quite a vibrant, forward city. Yeah, no, I would that, but rurally, maybe there are some parts that are a little bit kind of backward, but certainly not the cities. I think it's quite a vibrant place
now,
to be.
Now, where do you live now?
Still in Tauranga, which is a city about the size of Galway.
So you're raising little Kiwis.
Well, they're big Kiwis
big
now.
Kiwis
they're
now.
They're teenagers. They're Kiwis through and through. They know they're 50% Irish, but I think they, just as I feel more Irish, I think they feel more Kiwi.
But the challenge comes when Ireland plays New Zealand in rugby.
And it's awful, Pat. I feel very lonely sitting there in my in my green jersey. And one of my kids actually plays rugby, and they will support Ireland if they're playing
someone else.
But yeah, not New Zealand. So yeah.
Now we better move on to the current book, which is called The Good Mistress. And the characters, I mean, there's a single man who, in a sense, is central to it, but is no longer present.
Yeah.
And you've three women.
Three women. So it follows three women, Juliet, Maeve and Erica, in the immediate aftermath of the death of Rory. And Rory was married to Erica. He was Juliet's lover, and he was a childhood friend of Maeve. And so while his death is the catalyst, I suppose, for the women coming back together and their lives recolliding, really the emotional heart of the story lies within the women's relationships with each other and with their own families. And it explores lots of themes around emigration. Juliet, like myself, has been living in New Zealand for 20 years, so she's home. It also explores a lot of themes around midlife and, you know, ailing parents and teenage children and stressful work, and throw in a little bit of perimenopause just to just for fun.
So. I'm just wondering how much of this is autobiographical.
Well, you know, I think you bring a lot of yourself to every book. And I know there are some writers who say none of it is autobiographical, but I think every one of the characters in this book would have something, some part of me. And while the events in the book mightn't be autobiographical, still, I think the feelings or the opinions or the, there's a lot of myself in there.
Do you think that many women who bond either in late secondary school, where friendships are built, I suppose, sometimes they last, sometimes they're fragmented, depending on where people end up. Do you think many women are like that, that they keep in touch?
Well, I do. I mean, I've got a strong group of friends still from that time. I think it is quite common. And I even think about New Zealand. So my friends that I know over there, certainly from their university years, so they would definitely have strong bonds with, with people.
I'm just wondering, because I don't know if it's true of men so much. That they keep those bonds going, they keep in touch, and are they curious about, you know, how many kids their pal from college has now? I think women are curious about those things. Men maybe less so. And if you take from nature, I mean, as soon as the Lion King has done the business, he's thrown out. He's told, off you go. You're on your own now, sunshine. There's an element of the male as the solo warrior, and the females are more, the word used to be clannish.
Well, and I think that's probably a bit of a problem for men. Maybe there's a lot of men who might feel a bit lonely or a bit isolated or
irrelevant.
Maybe, but maybe that's the reason as well, that, you know, we've got all these people like Andrew Tate and whatever, who are casting a kind of malevolent influence over young men, you know, that maybe there's a sense of feeling dislocated and lonely. Whereas I think women tend to, like you say, just be, you know, retain ties. And
now technology allows us all to keep in touch much more comprehensively than the old airmail letter might have a couple of generations ago. And even making that long distance phone call, you know, having back in the day, you had to find the coins and you put the, and then of course, if you're in New Zealand, your time dislocated as well.
Yeah, it's really hard, you know, because I find when I'm when I want to talk to people at home, it's, you know, the afternoon, and they're,
you've got to check on your phone. What time is it in Galway or Dublin or wherever it might be?
Do you know, I actually feel as though I've got two clocks running concurrently in my head, you know, one on Ireland time and one on New Zealand time. And even with regard to the seasons, you know, being completely opposite. And I know nobody in Ireland is thinking about New Zealand the same way that I would be thinking. Yeah. Thinking back about Ireland, so it can be a bit lonely.
What do you miss most?
Friends and family. I've been spending the last couple of days walking around Dublin city centre, and I love that. I love the old buildings. There's a real newness to New Zealand. Like, it feels that the towns are much more new, and you don't get the same old buildings. So I just walking around Trinity yesterday or Grafton Street, just loving it. I miss the banter, and even the way people here just would slag you so much. I think, there's something. I think it means they like you, right?
Well, when he said to you, "Doll, are you in?" all those years ago, you didn't realize that this would be your life's course.
Had no idea. And I think sometimes you're better off not knowing, aren't you, when you make, because I'm really happy where I am. But if you'd said to me 20 years ago that you're never going to come back to live full time, I wouldn't have gone, you know, there's no way. So
Now, two books under your belt now, The Last Days of Joy and now The Good Mistress. Is there another one on the way already?
I hope so. So I've just, I'm just...
I mean, you're contracted, I presume, to write more.
Well, not just at the moment. So I was contracted for two books. So hopefully if they like the third one, they'll take that
they'll
one as
snap
well.
It up.
Yeah, I hope so. But it's very early days on that. It's I'm about 10,000 words in, so only another 90,000 to go.
And you're no longer a banker, that's for sure.
God knows.
You're still a mother, you will be forever.
Yeah.
But do you feel yourself now, I'm a writer?
Yeah, I feel I can say that now without feeling really stupid. I think initially before I had a book deal, I think I would have felt a bit silly saying it. But now I think I can say it, yeah.
And it's been a great pleasure meeting you. The book is terrific. Absolutely. I'm sure people will enjoy it. It's a very catchy title.
Yeah. I didn't come up with it though, unfortunately.
The Good Mistress. And it's available everywhere. Anne Tiernan, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.
Thank you, Pat.
Now, if you've been affected by any of the issues we raised briefly in this interview, help is available. You can call the Samaritans on 116 123. Now,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Do you know how long the average professional spends making slide decks every week? 5 hours. That's almost an entire workday resizing text boxes and moving around bullet points. Well, Gamma is here to rescue you from presentation purgatory. Just drop in your notes and Gamma magically turns them into polished presentations, websites, social posts, you name it. No design or coding skills required. Start for free at gamma.app and get a month of Gamma Pro for free with promo code PODCAST.